Brilliant. So most weeks when we gather together, we do something like what we've been doing this morning. We sing songs. We sing songs about Jesus, to Jesus. We don't normally throw people in a paddling pool, but apart from that, and then we have a talk where someone looks into something that the Bible says. And this morning is definitely an unusual morning. We're doing an unusual thing, a fantastic thing this morning, baptising these youngsters, a real time of celebration for us. But over the last few weeks, what we've been doing is we've been looking at the book of Psalms. It's one of the books in the Bible. It's a book of poetry. It's not what you normally think of poetry, I suppose. If I think of poetry, I think about people writing about flowers and how much they love each other and stuff like that. I've not really got the hang of poetry, I've said this before. The book of Psalms is almost more like war poetry. It's a lot of it is written by David, who's a king, and he's under all sorts of kind of pressures and stresses and people after his life. And these Psalms are his cry of his heart to God. And we've been looking through this book of Psalms, and particularly in the book of Psalms, there's some words used to describe God. And that's what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. And even though this morning is really quite different to other weeks, what I was going to look at, if I was following that series, I think is kind of appropriate for today. And so we're going to look at the last of these before we really get stuck into Christmas from next week. And it's this. You can't see it very well because I've made it far too small on the screen, for which I apologise. But it's this. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. You are my Lord. This is the kind of the word of God that's used in this particular psalm. And this sentence, when you look at it, looks weird, right? It says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. That is nonsense. You could say, I say to my sausage, you are a sausage. It's the same word. It makes sense. It's nonsensical. My Lord, you're my Lord. Of course you're my Lord, because I've just called you my Lord. But what you got here, if you can see this quite closely in my tiny little writing, one of the Lords is written with capital letters, right? And one of them is written with little letters. Got that? And I'll tell you why. You may know this already, and if I'm not wanting to be factual, but if you don't know this already, I find it quite interesting. So if you see Lord in the Bible, and it's written with capital letters, that is the name of God. It's written YHWH in the Hebrew, and because Hebrew's got no vowels, it's a weird language. And so we've made that Yahweh. You may be familiar with that word. Jehovah is kind of the Latinized version of that. I mean, I find this fascinating, you may not, but Latin doesn't have the same letters, so it's kind of added some different vowels and changed the Y to a J. And that. So Jehovah, Yahweh, and Lord with capital L's are the same thing. We may say God. So he's saying, God, you are my Lord. That's what this verse is saying. And so this is kind of the name of God that we're looking, that this psalm is using. So it's saying, God, you are my Lord. And Lord for us in our culture is a bit of a funny thing. We don't tend to have lords. We have bosses, employers, teachers maybe, lecturers. We don't tend to have lords a lot. We've got the House of Lords and we know that's kind of weird. I'm not going to get people. It's a strange place that we don't quite understand. It's like other people. But we don't quite have that concept of Lord. We look back in kind of feudal times and it's got some really quite negative overtones when we look at that kind of thing. But it speaks of the one I follow, the one I have allegiance with. It's the one whose authority I sit under, but it's more than that. It's the one whose protection I also sit under. What you say goes in my life in good and bad ways. I'm linked to you. I follow you. I'm assigned to you. In some ways, I belong to you. And in human terms, that is wide open for abuse, right? And we know in feudal times, we look at that has always been the case. But we also have good examples of that. I suppose if we look at tales of King Arthur and that kind of thing, and people who are following him have that kind of love, that allegiance, that I'm going to follow you, my Lord and my King. That there's that kind of appropriate authority that is loved, is delighted in. And these folks being baptised today, and those of us who follow our God, this is true of us. We come before our God and we say, you are my Lord. I willingly and delightedly and enjoyingly am linked to you. I'm linked to you. I'm under your authority. I'm also under your protection. Good and bad, I'm for you and you're for me. And my fortunes are entirely wrapped up in your fortunes, because that's how it works with a Lord. If you're following a Lord, then if that Lord is successful, then you're successful, right? If you're not successful, if your Lord is not successful, then you are in a whole lot of trouble. If your Lord is defeated in battle, you're probably going to be taken away into slavery or killed, in human terms. But if he does well, then your fortunes rise with him. And in baptism, it's a sign, that it's a public declaration that we are aligning ourselves with our God. He is our Lord. He is the one that we follow. And that is a statement that these young people today have been making. They're not just saying, I believe in God. I believe that there's a God who's there. We've heard it in their testimony. They're saying, I'm going to follow you all my days. And this is the Lordship. This is the, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. This is the declaration that we make as we come before him. And these young people have been saying, they're not just living for themselves now. They're living for their Lord. It's this Lordship, this kingship, following under the kingdom, the kingship of our God. The kingdom of God is where we willingly choose to live. And your fortunes, our fortunes, those of us who follow him, those of us who can make that declaration, our fortunes are wrapped up in his fortunes. And that's important. The Bible describes followers of Jesus as being in Christ. We're wrapped up in him. And what is true for him has become true for us, and particularly what he achieved at that cross. We sing about it, we talk about it, we're obsessed with this cross in this church, because that moment where Jesus died, we died with him to our old selves so that we can live under his lordship for the rest of our lives. And he didn't just die, but he rose again. We sang earlier about the empty cross, the empty grave. He rose again. And that thing that is true of him, because he is our Lord, is true of us. What his fortunes are our fortunes. And we rose in him as well. So these young people would say they died to their old self so they can live a new life in him. And baptism is a picture of that. Baptism, what we've done out there is we've acted out two stories, really. We've acted out one that is going through water. It's an old, it's the most significant moments in Israel's history, the people of God in the Old Testament. They were saved from slavery by going through water. They ran away from Egypt where they're slaves. They escaped through the Red Sea. And that sea was that marking point from leaving their old life of slavery to heading towards the promised land. And that's one of the things we act out in baptism. It's kind of leaving that life of slavery not literal slaves in the way that Israel was, but slavery to kind of the rubbish that messes us up in life. And again, these young people are talking about that. The stuff that binds us and messes us up and causes us to be self-destructive and all that kind of stuff. We are set free from that. And going through the waters of baptism is a play act of that happens literally in the life of Israel. But the other thing that baptism is the picture of that death of Jesus. And Jesus died and he went down into the grave. And our young people went down into the water. But you'll notice we didn't leave them underwater. They're not still under there now. We lifted them back out of that water, which is a play act. It's a demonstration. It's an enacting of Jesus being raised again from the dead. And our young people, those four brilliant youngsters, being raised up in Christ because he is their Lord and their fortunes are wrapped up in his fortunes. So as Jesus was raised up, they too were raised up to a new life, following him, free from that rubbish that binds us all unless we're under that covering of Jesus. And so that's what we've been doing today. That's what we've been acting out through baptism. goes back to that key moment of God's people escaping through the water from slavery, but also to Jesus being raised from the dead. And so I guess it's helpful to know the technical, the theological side of what we've done today. We are declaring through enacting what Jesus has done that we are in him because we are aligned with him, because I say to my God, you are my Lord. I'm aligned to you. And it's not just that I have this intellectual assent that there's a God out there that kind of likes me. No, it's much more than that. You are my Lord. You're the one that I'm aligned to. You're the one whose protection I'm under. You're the one whose authority I'm under. I am following you the rest of my days. And that's what these young people have said. But here's the remarkable thing, and I'm just going to end with this. We gladly bow to his lordship. But we find that we are not treated as servants under a lord. We find that he then treats us as family. We're described as heirs with him, brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a remarkable thing. So we sit under his allegiance gladly, but he then treats us as his brothers and sisters. And to look into that more, we'll come back week after week, and we'll be exploring that in the weeks through the rest of the year. That's another story. But it's glorious, and it's good. And it's what these guys have declared that they're a part of today. Father, I want to thank you so much for these young people. I want to thank you for their declaration of your lordship in their lives. Lord, I want to thank you that so many of us who've gone before them in making those same sort of declarations have found out, as they've said today, that you are good and your lordship is good and following you is good and your ways are good and you are a good Lord and a King. And Lord, we thank you that those things are true. We thank you that our fortunes are wrapped up in your fortunes, but you have won that victory. You've left that grave. You've left that cross. Yes. You've won that victory. And that we are wrapped up in that. Our fortunes are wrapped up in you, and you have won that victory over sin and death. And we are with you in that because you are our Lord. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we do pray for these young people. We're going to pray for them more fully in a little while. Lord, we do pray for them now that they would follow you as their Lord. They would know your lordship in their lives for the rest of their days. Jesus. We thank you, you are good. Amen. Amen.